Good morning, everyone, and again, you're very welcome to Westside this morning. And we're going to continue in our series in Galatians, and we're in chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 6 through to verse 14. Galatians 3, 6 to 14. Verse 6. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on the faith. On the contrary, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hung on a pole." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And we finish there in verse 14. Lord, help us as we consider your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Last Sunday with Jonathan, we looked at the first five verses of Galatians chapter 3, and we saw that here the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian churches in forceful terms, using phrases like, "You foolish Galatians, and who has bewitched you," in trying to convince you that salvation is not by grace alone. False teachers telling them, "You must add more." Strong language to the Galatians as Paul defends the truth of the gospel. In verse 5, in the first five verses of Galatians 3, Paul uses the personal argument, the argument of experience. How were you saved? How did it happen? You know, they say a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Experience trumps argument. Rock, paper, scissors. Experience trumps argument. They received the Holy Spirit by believing and not by doing. They were saved by grace alone. You know, the world religions say, do. Christianity says, done. Isn't that beautiful? Done. In this next section from verses 6 to 14, the great Apostle Paul moves to the scriptural argument, where he quotes six New Old Testament scriptures to back up his point. And this morning we're going to look at two kinds of people. Those who have faith, verses 6 to 8, and those who rely on the works of the law, verses 10 to 12. And then, of course, the most important person, the person who redeemed us in verses 13 and 14, the person we have our faith in. So here Paul quotes six Old Testament scriptures to prove that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. And we've been reminded by that by Glenn already. Thanks, Glenn, very much. I was thinking I'd just say amen and sit down. You've done so well explaining this. This circumcision group of false teachers who were infiltrating these Galatian churches, teaching a false gospel. These Judaizers who wanted to take believers back to the law were taken to task by the great Apostle Paul. Paul, who does just that in taking these new believers back to the Old Testament scriptures, because that's all they had at the time. And first in verse 6, Paul quotes Genesis 15 verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And the Jewish leaders, even in the time of Jesus, they kept harping back to their father Abraham, didn't they? And this is where Paul goes back to quoting Moses in Genesis, showing that God's righteousness was credited to Abraham's account. And why it was credited to him? Because Abraham believed God's promise. The covenant of circumcision hadn't yet been given. That was a few chapters and 14 years or so later in Genesis 17. So it couldn't have been circumcision that saved Abram at that time in 15 verse 3. And also Abram was not under the law, because that hadn't been given either. It would be several hundred years later before the Ten Commandments and the law was given to the Jewish people. After they'd been 400 years in slavery and more time before that as well. Also, Abram was not under the law as it had not yet been given. At this stage, Abram was a Gentile in the true sense of the word. He wasn't a Jew. Yet he believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had a right standing with God by faith and by faith alone. Back in Genesis 12, verse 3, God made a covenant with Abram. A covenant is an agreement between two people. God promises, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. God, in essence, says to Abram, through you, through your line, all nations will be blessed. And as we know, as the Jewish leaders often pointed back to their father Abraham, Abram's ancestors were the Jews, and eventually, centuries later, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, came and ultimately fulfilled that promise that through Abraham all the nations will be blessed. A few years ago, 28 years ago, July 20th, Olive's not here now, so I can guess the date. I know, it is July 20th. When Olive and I were married, right here in this church, we stood up there in front of Gordon, and Gordon asked me questions and asked Olive questions, and we both made covenants. We made promises to one another in our marriage vows to one another before the Lord and those present. There were two of us making covenants, promises to one another. The unique thing about this covenant between God and Abram back in that chapter 15 of Genesis, was that there was only one party stating his side of the covenant, and that was God. Abram didn't have anything to promise. There wasn't a his side of the covenant. God did all the promising and making the covenant, and Abram believed the Lord and credited to him as righteousness in Genesis 15:6. Abram accepted all the Lord promised him. The Lord promised the blessing, and Abram believed what God had promised. It was Abram's faith in God that made him righteous, by crediting his faith to him as righteousness. It was faith and faith alone that caused God to account Abraham as righteous. And God's accounting isn't pretending. It's real. It's a real righteousness, only found through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. It wasn't that Abram merely just believed in God as a person or as an entity. It says Abram believed God's promise. He took God at his word. He trusted what God said was true, and God only speaks the truth. He never lies. Basically, Abram says to God, I believe what you say. The word credited or counted means the same as the word imputed, as used in Romans 4, verse 11. Again, speaking about Abraham, Paul writes, he is the father of all who believed, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited or imputed to them. Believed, but not being circumcised. Romans 14:13, Paul tells us, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through righteousness that comes by faith. Further on down in verse 16 of Romans 4, Paul writes, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abram's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, say circumcised, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, Gentile believers also. Further on down in Romans 4, 23, 25, Paul writes the words, it was credited to him, were not written for him, that is Abraham alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. When we as sinners trust in the Lord Jesus, God's righteousness is given to us. We are in credit. Always a lovely feeling, isn't it? To be in credit. But even better, when we are converted by Jesus' righteousness. Now that's all the credit we all need. Our record is clean before a holy and just God. Once our sins are covered, credited by Jesus, we as believers can never be brought into judgment for our sins. Just as for Abram was credited as righteousness, so also for each believer, those who have faith, it will be credited as righteousness, verse 7. Do you know, think of all those Old Testament people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. What does it say there? Does it say by works or by the law, Abraham or Abel or Cain? No. For each person it says by faith. It's a great faith chapter, isn't it? It says by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. Nothing mentioned of works or by circumcision or by the law. It's by faith. All those Old Testament characters came to Christ. They came to faith in God and they had eternal life. The next Old Testament scripture Paul quotes in verse 8 from Genesis 12 verse 3. Again, speaking of Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. From the very beginning of Abraham's relationship with God, the blessing of salvation was promised to all nations of the world. Sinners are justified through faith and not by keeping the law. Through God blessed Abraham and his descendants in many ways, but the greatest blessing was our eternal salvation. The Lord Jesus is that promised seed, as Galatians 3:16 talks about a few verses on, through whom all nations will be blessed. And that was prophesied way back there to Abraham back in chapter 15 of Genesis. Then Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. There are two cursed people mentioned in these last few verses that we read. One is everyone who relies on the works of the law. That's the whole world, mankind. And the other person is the Lord Jesus in verse 13. In verse 10, Paul says, all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. He also says in verse 11, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Cursed is a serious word, isn't it? Paul tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all cursed. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, God's judgment. A holy God cannot ignore sin. Our good works or trying to keep the law doesn't cut it, does it? James reminds us, if we fall on one point of the law, we are guilty of breaking all the law. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. We need God's salvation, for without it, we are cursed. Then the fourth quotation Paul quotes from in verse 11 is from Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The righteous person, the just, will live by faith. No one could live by the law because the law shows how guilty we are before a holy God. The law demonstrates just how high the bar is, unreachable. The law shows us just how guilty we are. It's by faith. It's the only way. Faith in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, the only one who is perfect, the only one who lived on this earth and lived a perfect life, a sinless life. The fifth quotation Paul quotes in verse 12 is from Leviticus 18:5. The person who does these things will live by them. The law says, the law will tell us do and live, but grace tells us believe and live. Paul knew all about doing. We often read in the epistles of what Paul was like before he became a believer. Before his Damascus Road experience, his conversion, he believed that he was doing all the right things. He was zealous for God. In Philippians 3:1-10, it talks about all the things about his race and the rituals and his religion. But good works can never save the sinner. Only faith in what the Lord Jesus has accomplished on the cross can save the sinner. What the law cannot do, the law cannot justify the sinner. The law cannot give the gift of the Holy Spirit. The law cannot guarantee our inheritance. The law cannot impart life. The law cannot give freedom. And then verse 13, Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 21:23, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." And this verse talks about the Savior, about the Lord Jesus, the person who took the curse for us on the cross. He took our place, all who have faith in him alone for salvation. We've been looking at what the law cannot do, and that it actually puts us under a curse. But here in verses 13 and 14, we have that really good news, the best news. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus has bought us back, redeemed us, paid the price for our redemption. We were ransomed by our Savior. When we put our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross, we aren't under the curse any longer. We are free. What a lovely word. We are free. In these last few verses here, as we finish up, there's a lovely sum up of what Paul has been writing to us here. The Lord has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The blessing promised Abraham comes through Christ. All I need is Christ. All you need is Christ. This pole Paul refers to here is, of course, speaking about the cross on which the Lord Jesus died. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, died on a cross and bore the curse of the law for each one of us. We are saved through faith in what Christ did for us in taking our place, the just for the unjust, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 14 says, Paul says, he redeemed us. He purchased our salvation in order to set us free from the curse of the law, the curse of sin, which is the judgment and death, which is separation from God for eternity. The law leads us into slavery. Faith in Christ leads us into freedom. Slavery, freedom. As the song goes, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subjects to a yoke of slavery. Jesus not only took the curse that we deserved, but he also gave us the blessing that we didn't deserve. He took the curse that we do deserve, and he gave us a blessing that we didn't deserve. He took away something we deserved, eternal separation from God because of our sin. And then he gave us something we didn't deserve, the promise of him making his home with us, the promise of the Spirit to live within us. As believers, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians tells us that in 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And that price was the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for each one of us. That blessing given all those centuries ago to Abraham, we as Gentiles, along with the Jews by faith, may receive the promise of the Spirit, a promise that is received by faith in Christ, a promise that cannot be earned by our own law-keeping efforts. We are not saved by our human achievement. We are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. A simple acrostic of that word grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Two people that we've considered, those who have faith in the finished work at the cross and those who rely on the works of the law in themselves. Which group of people, I wonder, are you in this morning? Faith and trust in Christ, or are you working for your salvation? I trust and pray that each one here are trusting in the Lord Jesus and his finished work on the cross for the promised blessing of God, to be right with him and to have that peace that the world cannot bring and that assurance of a home in heaven for eternity with our Savior. We are saved by grace through faith. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. I pray this morning that each one of you have come to the Lord by grace alone, in and through Christ alone. Lord Jesus, we pray that, Father God, that you will instill in our hearts, Lord, that lovely message that Paul has been showing us in this passage in Galatians. Lord, it's not of works. It's not of the law. It's all by faith. Just like all those Old Testament characters in Hebrews 11, it was by faith that they believed. Thank you for Abraham and how he believed and it was credit to him as righteousness. Lord, we pray that each one here this morning would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and continue to trust him for their salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.